Welcome to Engineering Influence, a podcast by the American Council of Engineering Companies. We're very pleased today to welcome back to the show our board chair, Mitch Simpler, for his quarterly Chairman's Corner podcast. And now that we're in the second week of a new year and a new decade, it's a good time to look back a bit on 2019, on what was a very busy and successful year at ACEC, and maybe, you know, a little bit of look forward to what the new year might bring. So, Mitch, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for having me back, and Happy New Year to you and to all the listeners.
Yes, Happy New Year.
You know, my wife gets very depressed at the end of the year, and I tell her, I said, this is an opportunity. It's you got to look for it as these are opportunities and challenges, not to be depressing, but to be enlightening and energizing. So here we are.
Yeah.
Anyway, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah. And really, when I came on in May of last year with ACEC, it was right at the conference in Washington. And my introduction, of course, to ACEC, and then also you assumed the role officially as board chair. A lot's happened since. What are your big takeaways from the year for the industry and from the association perspective?
Well, so let's just talk about the year in general. It's been a very unique year because, as you know, we had a previous president and CEO had retired after 20 years. So as I came on board as the chair, and when I was actually chair-elect, we brought in a whole new management team for ACEC National, which has been both a blessing and a bit of a curse. The curse is that there was not a lot of intellectual and institutional knowledge that was carried forward, and that's actually part of the blessing. We did not have a lot of baggage. But the short version is having a new staff, starting with Linda Bauer-Darr, and you know, she brought in as came in as a CEO and new president, but then we brought in a new CEO, CFO, and new legislative representation. A lot of people that needed to get brought up to speed as to who we are and what we do. And then on top of that, for reasons that I'll make clear later, I hope, is the fact that we determined that we needed to upgrade and actually replace our strategic plan. So we really had a lot of major challenges for the team, both the volunteer leadership, which was new, that would be me, and Manish. The good news is we were able to adjust the bylaws that allowed the previous chair to stay on executive committee to help smooth the transition out. And then having Charlie G on board, who is now the chair-elect, gave us a really clear set of guidance and guiding principle leaders that can help transition the organization into the future. But some real big challenges, and I think all have been met with enthusiasm, and the team has done a terrific job to move the needles across the board for ACEC, both on membership, relationship building between the member offices and national, opening up the national doors so that the states and the member firms really get a better understanding of who ACEC is, what our role is, and what our responsibilities are, and what we can do for them.
Yeah, I kind of felt that change coming in. Of course, I didn't have a lot of the institutional knowledge, you know, coming in to ACEC, but I noticed that you had that feeling of change was afoot, and you had pieces being moved on the table, but really no sense of disruption. That energy, that enthusiasm was there, evident when I came on board, and of course, you know, Linda's been a real force in that, moving this, you know, forward and kind of expanding our scope and looking bigger and trying to raise the profile of the industry. But I noticed that seemed to be kind of universal, you know, yeah, let's move this forward and let's keep things going. So it's been an interesting ride that this level of enthusiasm hasn't waned at all. And it's kind of opened new doors. Of course, you know, one of the perfect examples of that, I think, was the first time that we really, as a large team, went to a FITIC conference, of course, this time in Mexico City. where we had policy. Of course, I came down to do podcasts. You were there, and you were presented at the conference as well, as did Linda. And that was a new experience. You know, what did you think of that?
Well, I thought it was my first FITIX conference. For reasons that I don't recall, I was not able to make the previous. It's customary for the incoming chair as well as the chair to attend the FITIX conferences. FITIX, for those listeners who aren't familiar with it, it is essentially the international version of ACEC, and ACEC US is one of 102 member countries that are members of FITIX. Aside from the fact that it was my first FITIX convention, I have to tell you, it was truly exciting. This year's conference took place in Mexico City. It was my first time there. It was challenging because I don't speak Spanish, and neither did many of the people that I went there with.
Nope, not at all.
The good news is many of them speak English, so that really made it well. But it's really an opportunity for ACEC, to collaborate with over 102 other countries that all represent the FITIC organization, and it really you communicate on a truly global scale. And it was also important for us to be there this year because the new president of FITIC is Bill Howard, who is from CDM Smith, I guess it is, who was sworn as a new president. It's a 2-year term. So now the leadership of FITIC is an American. Now, Bill has served on their board for a number of years. People who remember Greg Simopoulos, former chair of ACEC National, also was president of FITIC several years ago. So ACEC has played and will continue to play a major role on the FITIC front. But it was interesting as a member of ACEC to go down there and listen to the issues that they struggle with, many of which are the same issues that we struggle with at ACEC. They have the and that's the issue of commoditization of engineering, quality-based selection. You know, how do you pick the right team for the right reasons? And so these are all the same missions that ACEC has, FITIC has. They have one additional challenge, which is, and we have sort of been blessed in the U.S., and we're kind of a bit of in a bubble, but issues of corruption and intellectual property theft and all kinds of things that we have sort of dismissed over the years here because we have a much more open society. Those issues are still very prevalent at the international level, and FITIC's challenge has been to try to open that up and make the international market as clear and open a place for business as it is here in the U.S. And so they have their own challenges. The fact that we have significant American representation in FITIC, both at the leadership level, as well as on the FITIC's probably single biggest claim to fame, is the fact that they have prepared a number of international contracts for design professionals. These contracts have become sort of the gold standard now. And many of the documents that we use as part of ACEC out of the EJDC have come out of basis from the FITIC format. Mm-hmm. So very interesting. Met some amazing people down there. We were able to, as ACEC, reopen or invigorate the communication between our counterparts here in North America, as well as those in South America, and particularly Central America and Mexico.
Yeah.
There's a number of things that we think that we have and more in common than in difference. They look to the U.S., FITIC does, as well as our South American counterparts, look to the U.S. as true leaders from technology, design practice, and best business practices. You know, we're the sort of the envy of most of the world, and they are looking to us to help them raise their standards. And we certainly made it very clear that we're open for business and would be willing and would love to help. So
yeah, I remember the enthusiasm of the our Mexican counterparts and talking to us and reestablishing those ties, and it was you know, very optimistic. We share so many common interests, both economically and then also in the need for infrastructure investment. You can see how those markets can mutually benefit each other. And it's good for ACEC to be able to open that door back open for collaboration.
Yeah, and it was refreshing the fact that the Mexican counterpart for ACEC, that whole team came up to Chicago for mm-hmm. our fall meeting.
Yeah,
and continued the conversation. So this is it's very encouraging, and I look forward to see how it develops.
Absolutely. It was a valuable conference, and it was especially interesting. The subject that you presented on was technology, and how that's kind of changing the way that the industry is working, and the way that the new cadre of engineers coming up through the ranks in university and the younger professionals are able to use technology to do things that were, you know, time consuming and inconceivable, you know, only, you know, a decade or so more ago. And then how that technology is, you know, how it's being spread across the world, because one of the things about FITIC is that there, you know, includes Western Europe, of course, North America, Asia, but then also some developing areas of the world that don't have access to that same level of technology. And the point you made about corruption and issues of IP and really just doing business in a above board way, you know, it's interesting to hear the stories from people in, you know, Europe and Asia, but then also hearing the perspectives from countries like Kenya and some others where they want to have the same access, but they just don't because, you know, their economies are still developing. They don't have the access to the same technologies, the same legal provisions that American firms have. And then the other side of the coin is American firms that might want to be doing business in those regions. What do they have to be cognizant of and aware of? And it was really interesting to have that exchange and being able to be part of that firsthand. So it was an extremely good conference.
Yeah, I agree. And for us to get a better perspective on the global business of what ACEC represents. And as you said, Europe has a definite approach. And they are embracing technology, but there are a lot of countries which just simply cannot. And they turn to us as true technology leaders. What can we do to help them leverage whatever aptitudes they have to be better designers and better producers? And I think that using the FITIC forum is a terrific way for that information exchange to take place. Mm-hmm. And it absolutely does. And it was really just really exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And another big issue or topic of focus for us, of course, something that you alluded to a little bit earlier and has been kind of a driving force throughout the year has been the development of that new strategic plan, which was adopted in Chicago officially. But that's, you know, the adoption is only the public part of it. There's been a lot of work behind the scenes that have been going on for a long time, which you have been deeply involved in. And it's going to set the stage for how ACEC moves forward and grows as an association and represents a dynamic and changing industry. You know, what's your, and of course, right now we're in the implementation phases of that plan, which is still ongoing. What are your main thoughts about the plan itself, you know, how it came about and where we are really with, you know, the implementation phase right now?
Yeah, well, no, it's a good question. And it certainly, let me digress real quick. So here I take over as chair. We decide that we're going to have a new budget, a new 3-year budget. We have a new team of our paid professional staff, starting with Linda, and then decide, well, while we're at it, why don't we do a new strategic plan? You have nothing else to do on your plate, so what the heck? And I'm being a little facetious. It was a lot of moving parts. But certainly the strategic plan adoption, the new strategic plan adoption, I think has been a real success story. Maniska Thori was chair of ACEC before me. And when I served as chair-elect, I also served on the planning cabinet. Manish challenged us on the planning cabinet to decide whether the current strategic plan needed to be updated or replaced. The planning cabinet unanimously recommended to replace the current plan, as it was the plan had really become more operational than it was strategic. And that's when the fun really began. We put together an incredible team of diverse leaders from member firms, both across the country and in different markets sectors, male and female. We tried to get as diverse a group as we possibly get. The result from that process was that we developed a brand new strategic plan. And that was, as you said, it was presented to the board of directors at the fall conference in Chicago, and the plan was unanimously adopted by the board. It was presented by one of our members, as well as our strategic planning chairman, Mr. Greg Kelly. The plan has been branded as being both bold and audacious, and as a refreshing change, I guess, from the previous plans. But a real hurdle, as you pointed out, was the fact that we now need to roll this plan out with real operational and implementation-worthy goals, and that's where the fun really began. So part of the process that we're involved in now, and we are going to be presenting the next stage at the XCOM meeting in January, is to put together both the implementation details as well as the performance metrics that we're going to be able to use to measure the success of our collective performance on execution of the plan. So that's really where we are. My hope is to be able to present certainly a pretty fleshed out skeleton of the implementation plan to the full board at the spring meeting in DC.
Yeah. And being part of that, you know, the think tank portion of it, where we have a diverse kind of set of individuals and groups within planning cabinet, and then also internal staff talking about these goals and objectives. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how it all comes together, because without going into detail, there are some themes and some ideas that are rising to the surface that are going to be, I think, incorporated into the implementation, and it's going to be some exciting things ahead. So, yeah, it's been a very interesting time watching this evolve and develop from the plan, getting it approved, and now moving into this more actionable stage of putting meat on the bones as far as, you know, those steps to actually get this in from paper into the reality of implementation. But it's critically important. I think that having this kind of a guiding strategic document really helps crystallize this idea that ACEC can, you know, really become the preeminent entity that's really in the popular thought space, both in public debate on the Hill, but then also talking to larger audiences, the American people, other industries, about the importance of engineering. And this is the kind of document that allows ACEC to kind of get that accomplished. And it's going to be interesting to see how it all develops. Spring is going to be very interesting to see what is going to be presented in Washington, D.C.
Now, I agree on everything you just stated. But to me, one of the key elements of the strategic plan, and it's mentioned throughout, is of ACEC's role to become thought leaders, and our role as the harbinger of thought leadership in the engineering industry. And that's certainly one of our strategic goals across all of the various components of the plan. But it's becoming the true thought leadership, developing thought leadership, executing thought leadership, and being the resource for thought leadership in the engineering community. And we've been doing it, and now we've tried to make it a little more, I'll use my term, official.
Yeah.
That's our strategic goal. And it is, as you say, very, very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It was a huge lift, and I will tell you, between the volunteers and the staff, it has been an incredible process. And my hats are off to all of you who participated, because it is it's a real challenge to do it right. It takes an incredible amount of time and patience and dedication, and that has been measured across the board from everyone who's been involved. And I thank each and every one of them for doing it. You included.
Well, thank you. I'll tell you, the thought leadership piece is something that we're looking at and trying to figure out how best to package and create kind of a platform for thought leadership. But it all really comes down to the people listening to this podcast, our members. You know, we have the great benefit of having some extremely hefty talent out there, people who are leading in their fields and are experts. And our ability to communicate thought leadership really bubbles up from the members that we have. So, you know, if there's anyone out there who has an idea or hey, I've been thinking about this one issue that I really think we can talk about, or I can talk about, reach out to us, because we'd love to get that in a place where people can see it. And our best position from ACEC is to be that amplifier of the voices of our membership. So anybody out there with an idea, something that they're an expert on, something that they want to talk about, let us know, because we'd like to help you with that. I just want to put in that little plug there, because we're in DC, we are staffers, we're communicators, we're lobbyists, we're association people. We're not day-to-day engineers, and our talent is really with the states and with our membership. So don't be shy. Contact us.
Right.
So the big tentpole items for 2019, something that we haven't really had the opportunity to talk to you about before on the show, but it was really interesting, was your trip to Asia as part of a commerce delegation to Indonesia, Thailand, and Vietnam with Secretary Wilbur Ross, Commerce Secretary Ross, to talk about American business and what can be done to bring open markets, of course, in Asia, and then also to create opportunities for U.S. firms. You were part of that. You had meetings with high-level, really just presidents, ambassadors, and high-level staff in those countries. What were your main takeaways? What were your thoughts on the success of that trip?
Well, I'll kind of back it up a little bit. Much like the FITIC meeting, the meeting in the trade mission to Southeast Asia was very exciting and incredibly challenging. First, the members of the trade mission, in addition to Wilbur Ross and his team from the Commerce Department, was the Import-Export Bank, the Overseas Private Investment Corporation, otherwise known as OPIC, the U.S. Agency for International Development, otherwise known as USAID, the U.S. Trade and Development Agency, USTDA, and the Department of State. Those are the government side of the trade mission. And on the private side, we had firms that represent gas companies, Boeing, Citibank, Lockheed Martin, but more specifically, ACEC, and Manish Kanthari and I, Manish being the previous chair of ACEC, my immediate predecessor, and I were the only two professionals representing professional design firms in the trade delegation. And it was really a unique opportunity for us. And the fact that we were representing 7,000 member firms, and that little detail was not lost on anyone on the mission, that we actually had more team behind us, in addition to the 700,000 members that represent the firms. Mm-hmm. ACEC was really very, very well positioned. And we, as you pointed out, we were able to meet with key ministry level members, as well as the presidents and premiers from Vietnam, Indonesia, and Thailand. Our simple message was that we, all the members of ACEC, are open for business with each and every one of these countries, provided we can be assured that we will be paid in full and in a reasonable period of time, that our intellectual property will be honored and respected, which has been sort of the biggest problem with doing work, particularly in Southeast Asia, is that you can do design work, and next thing you know, your design is popping up everywhere, and you're not involved because they have essentially taken your IP, your intellectual property. We, Manish and I, were convinced that our message was heard and well received by all the members of leadership within these countries, who also recognize that ACEC represents the best of the best design firms on a global scale. And if you want us to be able to work on your projects in those countries, they need to be clear and open about how we're working, how we get paid, and how our intellectual properties will be respected. And that message was made very loud and clear and very well received. And our hope, both through the Commerce Department as well as through the individual firms that are actively doing work over there now, that we will be able to continue the conversation and get more firms actively involved. They are all doing incredibly well from a economic development standpoint. And it certainly would behoove any and every American firm to get involved to the extent that they are able, because it is a booming economy. And we'll soon be, it's right now that the Asian countries represent the third largest market segment and third largest economy, and we need to be more actively involved.
Absolutely.
And, my hope is that we will.
Yeah, I think it's you know, there's a great, and again, you know, ACEC being part of that trip, you know, with how many companies and professionals that we represent, and that massive force behind that name, it's also important to kind of point out that as the trade mission went, we were the only professional trade association that was part of the trip. Everybody else was part of a company or representing.
Yeah, they were there with a very pointed mission to sell their specific product, and we were selling an idea. And I'll tell you, it was very well received.
Yeah.
And by the way, including the companies that were there saying, you know, we need to talk to you guys about help design facilities for us over here.
Yeah.
So that because they all want to – look, it's a huge – economic booming area. Right now, one of the big issues was the fact that there is an average of $40 billion trade deficit in favor of those countries against the U.S. And getting U.S. companies to invest in building projects in Southeast Asia, but using U.S. firms and U.S. products, was really part of the mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not lost on anyone there.
Yeah.
Including the companies that accompanied us to Southeast Asia using American companies to do their design and build and construction and using American products and the whole thing. And it was a home run.
Yeah. I mean, it was Tesla, Lockheed Martin, Boeing. I mean, some of the larger players in the oil and gas, natural gas fields. I mean, and also creating those inroads with those companies that are going to be making those investments. And then from a national security and more strategic position is that, you know, the big, of course, name on the block there is China. And there's you know, with the Belt and Road initiative that China's doing and their investments in the region, that those countries are looking for other partners. And
they're looking for alternatives.
Right?
Because I think the gloss has worn off the Belt and Road concept.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're now beginning to realize that that's not a good spot for them to be in, because China has really started tightening their belt on those countries, and they're saying, look, we need alternatives. We need better solutions from outside of China, and we were there to help.
Yeah.
And by the way, having both the city there as well as USAID and the Import-Export Bank gave them funding opportunities that they would have otherwise not had.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah, and Ed, I can tell you from you know, the reciprocity side, I mean, after you came back in short order before the end of the year, we had about two or three meetings inside our D.C. office with representatives from the region, and including Vietnam, who are very interested in talking to us. Like you said, you know, we are the gold standard. We have that knowledge base. We have that just that ability to improve, of course, their own practices and to influence how they are shaping the rules and regulations that govern the work that's done in the region, but then also having that ability to create and build the best infrastructure possible for a market that is just growing by leaps and bounds. And for any company out there that's listening, any CEO who's saying, you know, it might be interesting to get involved in international work with a country in the region, you know, reach out to us, because Dan Hilton on our team did a very good job of helping to provide the background, of course, to help you guys get out there and make it a successful meeting. But, you know, we are tied in with still USAID, the Export-Import Bank, those government entities. We have a very good relationship with them, and we can help firms out there that are looking at getting involved in those markets, and we can be that door opener. We can be that convener to help make those relationships happen. So if you're interested in it, please reach out, because you have a lot, you know, your membership in ACEC goes beyond just, you know, what you see day to day. There's a lot of work going on the international front. So, you know, take advantage of that.
Absolutely agreed. As I said, very exciting, clearly an opportunity, and a number of our member firms are already actively involved in Southeast Asia. And this is really an opportunity for other firms now
absolutely
to be able to piggyback on the successes that have already taken place.
So that's it was a busy year, both domestically and internationally. A lot of things are going to be going into 2020 that were started, of course, in 2019, the strategic plan being one. I guess, what's your outlook? I mean, not just from ACEC, but also as a leader and an executive in the industry. You know, what's 2020 looking like from your seat in the C-suite?
Well, from my lips to God's ears, I'll use the term cautiously optimistic. Mm-hmm. You know, I think everyone is feeling the success over the last several years, but particularly for 19. We would love for it to continue. But those of us who've been in business long enough, and this is my 43rd year with JBB and 33 years as a partner, I've seen economic booms and I've seen economic busts. And just when you think when things are going good and they're going to be sustained, the floor drops out. So I'll use my term, cautiously optimistic for 2020. We as a firm, we as a region have a real boom going on in the Northeast. Construction boom in the engineering industry is feeling it in a very good way. We have reasonable expectations that this will certainly continue through 2020. We know, obviously, this is an election year, and that's when, you know, funny things happen. And somebody says the wrong thing at the right time, and next, you know, the market takes a tank. So my term, cautiously optimistic, is just that, for that reason. Mm-hmm. I have every reason to believe that it will continue going, certainly in a manner similar, not necessarily, I'm not sure it'll continue at this fevered pitch, but certainly continue at a reasonable growth. And the reports that I've gotten back through my network as chair, certainly through my fellow CEOs, is that this cautious optimism is pretty much spread out across the country.
Yeah.
And that's good news.
Yeah.
And anything we can do to continue that process, we should be doing.
Absolutely.
Somebody tell me what that is, and I'll be happy to do it.
Well, it's going to be an interesting year. Without question, whenever you have an election year like this, it's always going to be very interesting, and we're going to be very active in it. From our position, to help the candidates understand the importance of the engineering industry, to see all the policies that are out there that benefit us from you know, issues related to workforce, immigration, resiliency, you know, climate change, things like that, that, you know, we have a part to play and we have a voice. And we want to have that voice included in the policy debate. And that's going to be up to us to make sure that happens.
Right. And this is a not so honest plug for the PAC, but this is where the PAC becomes so critical.
Absolutely.
And the good news is I got my notice that the PAC has exceeded $1 million again for mm-hmm. 2019, and congratulations to all of those who contributed. It is an absolute, probably the single best arrow we have in our quiver for the success of ACEC members and our advocacy program is the PAC. And this year will be the year, if it was ever going to be something worthwhile to have, it's a PAC during this presidential election. And so kudos to all of those who contributed. Kudos to ACEC for being able to continue to grow the PAC and use it in our advocacy in a manner to which it was intended. And that's, this year will be that test year. It's disappointing that for the last 4 years, we've not been able to get an infrastructure bill passed. Mm-hmm. But we certainly have every reason to believe that this year could be that year. So,
yeah. And again, as it happened with the 2016 election, infrastructure was more than just a back burner issue. It did come to the forefront. Hopefully that happens again. And the PAC enables us to keep that conversation going and to introduce, of course, our industry to more members of Congress. Of course, the significant number of freshmen that are in Congress right now who are going to be up for reelection, they're going to want to know what's happening. And the PAC, the townhouse that we have, of course, in Washington right now, which Dave Bender is overseeing, being able to have people in and to have those meetings, it's critically important. So, yes, thank you for all who have donated. And the PAC is a potent weapon. And it's said a lot about in D.C. that having one of that size is the kind of thing that separates you from a crowd. And has you and your message taken a lot more seriously. So breaking that million mark is a big landmark that really sets us up for a good 2020.
All right, fingers crossed.
Yep, fingers crossed.
An infrastructure bill.
Exactly. I guess that kind of I think it's a good note to kind of end on. It's a cautiously optimistic for 2020. Anything else that you want to add before we sign off?
No, other than it's been a real pleasure to work both, Jeff, with you and the entire ACEC team at National, and you guys make us all look good. But it is not lost on any one of us that it is you, the staff, that make ACEC the success story that it is. And thank you all, and I wish everyone a very happy, healthy, and safe new year. And I will see you actually on Wednesday. I'm coming down,
yes. Yes, absolutely. And thank you for that. And we will see you for our XCOM training. And the year is kicking off with a fast pace and a very packed January. So we really look forward to an exciting year ahead and talking to you in the future. And thank you very much for taking the time, Mitch, and Happy New Year.